Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
In hour number 2 of the program, we are going to be done a little bit early. We're going to wrap up about 7:40 or so as we get ready for SLU Billikens basketball. 7:45 is when their pregame is going to begin this evening. I was talking last hour a little bit about the Winter Classic and where they put the Winter Classic from a day and time slot standpoint, just thinking the NHL really made a mistake placing it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on New Year's Eve. Got a text message, and I think most people realize that there's a hierarchy of sports in the United States, and hockey is not on the upper tier. Got this text message from a person from 3 and 4. Says, I was coming home from Iowa on December 30th, listening to 670 The Score out of Chicago. They were broadcasting live from right next to Wrigley Field, and for 3 hours, they talked about nothing but the terrible Bears. They didn't discuss the Winter Classic at all. I couldn't believe it. That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me at all. One of the most frustrating things for me when I was working in Wisconsin was I was the baseball guy. And baseball doesn't matter compared to the Packers, no matter where you're at in Wisconsin. It was one of the most frustrating things in the world. The Packers could be playing a preseason game. The Brewers could be making a push for the postseason. And all that mattered was this stupid Packers preseason game. I hated it. I hated it. I hated it so much. Now, we're the opposite here in St. Louis. And I've always believed, and other people have said this as well, I've always believed part of the reason that the NFL didn't love being in St. Louis was that they were never going to be the single most important thing, that they were never going to be the Cardinals. Because I think football fans in St. Louis are fantastic. We saw it with the Rams, the way that this city supported that team as much as they did when they were winning, but also as much as they did when they were not winning. We've seen what this community does with the Battlehawks. We've seen how college football is supported both in Columbia and in Champaign. So like St. Louis and this region's football fans are very good football fans. But I can sit here. I could do a 2-hour show every single night right here on KMOX. We could turn Sports Open Line into Cardinals Open Line and do nothing but Cardinals. And honestly, I don't know if it's going to impact the listenership. It's not going to go down. Maybe it goes up. I don't know. And so in cities that are NFL markets, that's how it is with the NFL. And what I just said about the Cardinals, you could have done the same thing with the Packers at the radio station that I worked at. It could be June 15th, and the sports shows could do nothing but Packers, and many do nothing but Packers. And so, no, I'm not surprised that they were broadcasting right next to Wrigley. It was the day before the Winter Classic, and all they did was talk about Bears. Like, honestly, that's what they should be doing. And should be doing in the sense of, how do you maximize your audience? How do you, you know, service the advertisers and things like that? That's the play the hits. That's, you know, when you're in music radio, that's why if you're listening to like a regular radio station, you're going to hear a lot of the same music over and over and over. All of this has been heavily researched. You play the hits. I worked in top 40 music where we would take our six or seven top songs on any given week, and every single one of those songs would be played every hour and 15 minutes. That was the timing on it. So there were always seven songs that got played every hour and 15 minutes. That doesn't leave a whole lot of time for other songs. That's the way music radio works. In sports radio, you play the hits, you keep talking about the same stuff over and over and over. So, yeah, look, disappointing that Chicago is the home of the Winter Classic this year and that events are going on right next to Wrigley Field and you couldn't find people talking about it. And I'm sure they did spend some time discussing it. It also matters that the Blackhawks stink. I mean, the Blackhawks are bad. That's a bad, bad, bad hockey team. They are 12-24-2. They've lost five straight games. They're terrible. And they're terrible for so many reasons. And I don't think when the Bears are terrible, you talk about them in one way. When the Blackhawks are terrible, it's a very different conversation to be had. So I don't know. I appreciate the text message, and it's an interesting tidbit, but it's also not something that is surprising whatsoever. I'm just glad the Blues had the performance that they did at the outdoor game, and they've been very good. They've been very good in outdoor games for whatever reason. That is an area where they excel. They are in action, by the way, right now. Game just got underway a few moments ago. No scores. The Blues are matched up against Ottawa. Do want to remind you about the Gas House Gang. We always try to mention this as often as we possibly can, as we just we're hoping to drive as many people to watching every day. I'm having so much fun with this. Kevin Wheeler is going to be with us coming up in just a few moments. Of everything I have done in my career, one of my favorite things I've gotten to do is be part of the Gas House Gang, and we want it to be part of your routine. It's at 12 noon live every single weekday on the various KMOX social media channels, and we like people being tuned in live if possible because you're able to leave comments and we interact with you and things like that. It's just a little bit of a different sort of thing. And if you've got YouTube on your phone or Twitter on your phone, whatever it might be, you just lock in at 12 noon. That's we can spend your lunch break together. So if you're not familiar with it, we do replay it most nights at 8 o'clock here on KMOX. Not tonight because we're going to have Billikens basketball, but it's myself, Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas. We come your way every weekday at 12 noon on Monday. It's all four of us. We call Mondays Cardinal Mondays, where we talk nothing but Cardinals, going back to what I was saying a moment ago, nothing but Cardinals on Mondays. And then the other 4 days of the week, we all pair off. Like today was me and Bernie Miklas, and we make sure to talk at least some Cardinals every single day, but the other days of the week, we'll talk some other things as well. Kevin Wheeler is going to join me coming up in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Back at the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. We're getting down a little early tonight. Billikens basketball, they are going to start their broadcast at about 7:45. They're in action tonight over at Chaffetz Arena because they match up against St. Joseph's, two 1-0 teams in Atlantic 10 play. So Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. will have the call of that game coming up in just a while. It is Friday. That means our tradition each week, we bring in our good pal, Kevin Wheeler. Of course, you hear him on the Dave Glover Show just about each and every day. Hey, Kevin.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm solid, ready to go.
So last week I got to fill in on DGS.
Yeah, how did you like that? You fun. And Bernie?
Yeah, it was me and Bernie.
How great was that? I heard a little bit of it. Didn't hear it all because I was out of town, but I heard some of it.
It was really good. It was fun to be in studio. That was the first time Bernie and I, as far as I know, had been in the same room together.
During a show?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, period.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys weren't around here together at all, like when he was walking around?
What do you mean?
He was in a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Didn't see him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had to come in and record some spots or something.
So that was the first time that maybe at some point, like back in the day when I was covering a Cardinal game when I was in high school or something. Maybe he was in the press
box in the press room at the same time.
Yeah, but basically that was the first time.
It was a good time.
Yeah. We see each other almost every day with the Gas House game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's a lot of fun, man.
It is.
We're kicking ass, too.
It's fun.
Not to brag.
Not to brag, but
we're awesome.
There's never enough time.
Like, no.
There's so much we want to say.
Whether there's four of us or two of us or three of us, it's always like, man, just can't get to everything.
I got to the final segment today. I was like, all right, we're going to do quick hitters on the three things that I wanted to talk about today that we did not get to. So
it's hard.
What we really did talk a lot about is what's going on with Nolan Arenado. And I know people are sick of hearing it, but honestly, right now we're at a point where it doesn't matter what Cardinals conversation you have. It comes back to Arenado.
Yeah.
He is, whether, you know, are they going to trade Eric Fetty? Well, it comes back to Arenado. Are they going to play somebody at third base? It comes back to Arenado. Are they going to play somebody at second? It comes back to Arenado.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with Brendan Donovan? Well, it comes back to Nolan Arenado. Like, everything goes
turns
back to
on
Arenado.
That. Yes.
Yeah.
Everything turns on that because on the offensive side, it's self-evident, right? If he's here, he's in the lineup. Right. You're not playing. No, he's going to play.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. He's going to play. And I would assume he's going to work on some things between now and next year to be better than he was offensively last year. Never a guarantee when you're 34. But I mean, like Paul Goldschmidt was pretty good at 35, 36. So there's no reason to say that Arenado can't be better offensively. It's just you can't count on it. But, you know, he's going to be an elite defender. He's going to play. So then that just changes where do you put this guy? So instead of third, Gorman's at second. Instead of at second, Donovan's in left. Instead of in left, Nubar maybe is in center. Walker's going to be in right. Like, we know a few things, right? They're going to play him in the outfield. You're going to have Mason Winn at shortstop. You're going to have Contreras at first. Some combination, depending on the day, between Herrera and Pajes behind the plate. Burleson's probably going to be your DH most of the time. So, like, you've got, like, more certainty there. But, you know, you got to figure that out. And then, of course, you hit the pitching side. He relates to the pitching side because if you don't move his salary, the only other salaries you have to move are pitchers.
Right.
So we can't decide what's the rotation look like. Can't talk about it until we know whether or not Arenado is here. Because if he's here, they don't have to trade anybody.
Unless they back off on the amount of money that they want to drop payroll.
Yeah.
Essentially, if you don't trade.
Right, they could do that.
Yeah, they could say, you know what? Things are a little bit better. The gambling money is going to come. The TV money was a little bit better than we expected. We've already cut a lot of payroll. We don't have to take quite as far as we were going to. I guess that could always happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But if that doesn't happen, you're probably looking at Fetty, Helsley, and Matt's all needing to be moved because those three salaries get you close to, and you still have Arenado in years beyond, so that only fixes the problem for 1 year.
Right, right. But, you know, it's still something you can trade him again in the offseason or later in the year. I mean, like, it's not, that doesn't mean he'll never be traded. It just means he wouldn't be traded between now and opening day if it goes that way. And, you know, but I'll be honest with you, Matt. Not that I would ever lie to you.
I'd hope not.
They have to move a starter now anyway. They have too many guys to get looks at other young players. Today, there is no spot in the rotation for McGreevy. You're wasting time with McGreevy at AAA.
There's nothing left for him to do.
He needs to do it against big league hitters.
Yeah.
Right? He's already shown, you know, what he can do at the AAA level. He's of the right age. He's a former first-round draft pick. There should be a path for him to be a starter this year. That's not even counting Quinn Matthews coming down the road or, you know, what you decide to do with Cordon Graceffo and how he looks in spring training. That's just right out the gate. If you're going to get an advanced prospect who was a first-round pick, a shot at starting, and this is the thing about 2025 that to me is it outweighs anything financially or anything else. These are guys you have to find out about. Can Michael McGreevy make 30 starts in the big leagues? And if he does, how good is he? You need to know that for 2026
right,
so that you don't have to go get another Steven Matt, so that you don't have to go sign another Lance Lynn, so you don't have to sign another Miles Michaelis. You need to know that, and you're not going to know it unless you do it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's very rare where the Cardinals will come out and say that their number one priority is not making the playoffs.
And that's where this whole thing It's not working right now because you need Arenado's spot to figure out everybody that you want to figure out things about. And maybe they, if Arenado sticks around, do you change the expectations for the team because of it? I don't know. Like, I think
probably not, though,
because of his. I feel like you have a plan to replace Arenado, and offensively, it shouldn't. It could be. It could even be better.
Could be.
If Nolan Gorman takes a step forward. Might not be. It could be better. You don't have a plan to replace other guys that you would have to potentially move on from if you don't move on from Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, I think that's going to be... it's going to be interesting to see, you know, where they go. Because, I mean, you know, the most likely starter to go is probably Matz.
Yeah, 100%.
He's the combination of not as expensive as Michaelis and does not have a no-trade clause.
Right.
And not as valuable as Eric Fetty. Because if you want to be competitive, having Fetty will help you. And they don't, they're not tanking. See, if you were tanking, you're moving them all, right? If you were tanking, it's like, let me trade everybody I can get prospects for. But I'll tell you, if you have to trade people like Fetty or Helsley like that, you're getting good players for them. That's not just a salary dump.
But you won't might not see those players for a while.
No, I get it. But which is more valuable to a Cardinals fan? If I say to you, as if you're a Cardinals fan, which is more valuable to you? Just saving money by moving Steven Matz, or just saving money by moving Arenado or Michaelis, because you're not getting good prospects for those guys. You're not. It's not going to happen. You'll get a minor league player, but you're not getting anybody of note. For Eric Fetty, you're getting people of note. At least one guy of note. I'm not talking about somebody's top three prospect, but I'm talking about a guy that's probably in their top 10, an organization's top 10 that might be in your top 10. For Helsley, you're getting more than that. For Helsley, I would think you're getting maybe a top 100 prospect who's a little further away from the big leagues. If you're a fan, would you rather that you just save money and stay where you are now competitively? Or would you rather get rid of some money and get a better return and maybe lose a little bit competitively?
Like, for you and me, the answer is the second thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think all fans share that.
Because I don't think it's a lock that you're a worse team without Helsley. You probably are.
Yeah.
He's
one of the guys that I don't know if they have a person who can replace.
But what's his save conversion rate? Like
90.
Okay, so what if the guy that replaces him is 86%? Instead of 90%.
Then maybe.
Or 85% instead of 90%.
Then you're an 83 win team instead of a
85 win team, yeah. Right? And you're not, like, this is my point.
Right.
Closers matter, and Ryan Helsley is one of the best in the game. And by the way, it could also be way worse. You could put somebody in there that can't do the job and they implode, and you end up like we did in 2023, watching the bullpen fall apart and blow games left and right.
Yeah, you never know how somebody reacts to those final three outs.
That's exactly right. But there's also an argument, though, that it might not be much worse in terms of converting saves. Because it could be two different guys, right? One guy can be a 1.9 ERA and strike out 11 guys per nine and convert 92% of his save chances. Another guy could be a 3.5 ERA and 9 strikeouts per nine instead of 11 and convert 85%, and you're not that much worse in terms of games saved.
Sure, and the other side of that is the importance of the games that are being saved.
Exactly right. Right. You'd be tougher
valuable?
In one-run games, right? One-run games would be more risky, but your three-run lead would still be most likely a win, right? So it's hard to know, and yes, you are definitely, you're better with Helsley. Okay, he's one of the, I don't know, what would you say, 5 to 6 best closers in the game right now?
Sure.
Coming off of last year?
Easily.
But how much difference does that make this year with the priority being what it is? Like, I know you want to be competitive, but you're not saying this is our primary goal. What's the primary goal?
To figure out who.
Is that the team's primary goal to save money?
Well, no, I
this particular year.
I think the team's primary goal, because there is long-term implications to what happens this year,
right,
is to find out whether or not these guys can play in 2026.
Because if you find out they can, you're better set up to know if you can compete in 2026.
Sure.
Because if you know that McGreevy, okay, even if you only find out that he's a major league fifth starter, that's valuable. If all you find out is he's going to be a league average pitcher and make 30 starts for you, that's valuable knowledge. That's important.
And that's something that you're paying a lot of money for. And you're doing it at Miles Michaelis.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in his case, you'd be doing it at the minimum for another couple of years. That can help you move towards contention, because you can then have the resources you do have focused on something more specific that you find out that you need. If you find out that Jordan Walker, by giving him 550 plate appearances or 550 at-bats, you find out that he's a little bit above league average, that's a good thing. If if Nolan Gorman can be something like he was in 2023, that's really good knowledge. You know that you don't need to fix that. So then you can concentrate what you do want to spend eventually on very specific needs, and you can shoot higher on that. So instead of having four needs to fill at $10, $12 million per, you can pick one guy who's a stud and go get that $35 million a year player, which is a much bigger impact when you can find the cheaper guys that are going to do those other jobs.
Right, and that's one of the things I've been saying. The Cardinals are never going to play in the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes.
Oh, and the Soto.
But there is a next tier of player who's really, really good, all-star caliber.
They could play in the Corbin Burns category.
100%.
If you're in that position, right? If you're like, we're pretty close, this one starter gets us over the top, they could play in that category.
Only if you don't have the Lance Lynn's and Kyle Gibson's the
this
world
is the
on
point,
the roster.
Right. Yeah. And think about what they did for all those years. Like, they're big salary guys. I know the salaries are lower than the salaries are now, but they were appropriate for the stars of the time. But Adam Wainwright was that big chunk of money. Right? Yeah. Yadier Molina was that big chunk of money. But they were surrounding those big chunks of money. Matt Holliday was the big chunk of money. Albert was on his extension before he hit free agency in 2011. Matt Carpenter was a chunk of money. Like, you had those guys, but they were surrounded by cheap guys. David Freese, John Jay, Alan Craig, right? Mm-hmm. So you could do that. And that model is still going to work now. Now, the numbers are bigger, which to me makes it that much more important to have the younger guys to have J.J. Weatherholt show up and be a real star. Maybe not a superstar, but like a legitimate player. It's why Lars Nootbaar is so important. It's why Brendan Donovan is so important for right now. You need those guys to produce at the lower end of the salary spectrum. So down the road, and this is, by the way, what they're doing with Heim Bloom and revamping the farm system. It's so that you'd get back to that. So you get back to where you were developing Michael Wacha, Carlos Martinez, Jaime Garcia, Lance Lynn, all these young starters that would come in and compete for you and be awesome at a low salary. You could then have some of the bigger salaries to go with that.
But all those names, and also not but to add on, all those names you just listed, again, get connected back to Nolan Arenado.
Lars
Nootbaar doesn't have a for sure spot. We don't know if he's playing left or center. If Nolan Arenado's on the team, we don't know can you bring J.J. Weatherholt? If Weatherholt just kills it at AAA for the first 3 months of the season, what does that look like if Arenado's on the team? Because you still have Thomas Ajayi and Brendan Donovan. And
does Ajayi even fit in if you have Arenado?
That's what I was about to say. I'm not convinced Ajayi makes the team if Arenado's on it, which is crazy.
Because if you're figuring he's on the team, right?
He should be.
No, I'm saying if Arenado's on the team.
Okay.
You know that you're going to have a fourth outfielder. We don't know exactly who that would be, but you're going to have that. You're going to have the backup catcher. So those two are already spoken for. And then you got two more spots. You're going to have somebody who can play shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where Sejacy fits in.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, but it's not a guarantee. And do you want Sejacy to be a bench player? Because that's what he's going to be in that scenario. Where are the regular at-bats? And that's why moving Arenado is a big deal to me, not because you just got to get him out of town. That's not the point. He's a good guy. He works hard, you know, all that stuff. It's not because he's a problem. It's because you need those 600 plate appearances for other people. Because every plate appearance that he takes is a plate appearance that cannot go to the other players.
And, you know, John Mozeliak has a pretty strong track record in not wanting young players to sit in the
bench. No, that's my point, right. Would you really want Sejacy to be a bench player all year? No.
No. What happened with Walker last year where they brought him up and then sent him right back down, and it kind of felt uncomfortable, and you didn't know where the decisions were being made at that point.
Right.
But it's very clear, and Mo is still the guy, it's very clear that he doesn't want young players just sitting.
No, and he's right.
Yeah.
I agree with that. You do not want a young, developing prospect to be a bench player. They need the reps. They got to get at bats. Pitchers got to get innings. You know, you don't get better by watching.
Hopefully now that it's the new year, this will get figured out.
Yeah, and I think what's really interesting, and I asked Bernie this, so I'll ask you too. I'm interested just to see how their mindset shifts, right? Because in the past, You know, we haven't had the patience to let guys like Walker play through troubles, right? Because because you're trying to win the division, you get off to a bad start. Well, you can't just let a guy go out there and struggle.
Sure.
So it made sense. But if you're saying that that's not your mindset anymore, do they also have the ability to shift their mindset on things that they usually get fixated on, like center field defense? Like, to me, if you're in this year, let's not fixate on that. Like, if it works, great. If it sets up that you trade Arenado and you got Newton left and Walker and right, you're going to go defense and center, okay. But if you end up having Nolan Arenado around, then Nootbaar should be your center fielder.
And if you're not scoring runs,
then you got to be able to adapt. And then I wanted to ask you this, because on that same tack, what if you get to June and Quinn Matthews and Thomas DeJacy and J.J. Weatherholt are just destroying the minor leagues and they're clearly ready? Does this team have the willingness to at that point say, Miles Michaelis, you're not pitching well enough, we're just letting you go? Do they have the stomach for that, to pay people to go away, when in the past they haven't?
In the past they have. The one thing there is it's expiring contract.
Yes.
There's not multiple years left. So I think in that scenario, yes, they do. But the last thing, we're almost out of time here. This Miles Michaelis thing, I talked about this with Bernie today on Gas House Gang. There's all these people who think that it's just going to be easy to trade him.
Oh, no.
I don't know if there... He has a no...
That's a lot of money, man.
And he has a full no-trade clause. And honestly, I don't know if there is another team in baseball that he would accept a trade to.
Maybe not. I mean, you know, we've pointed this out.
He's, very
he's from Jupiter,
yeah.
So, you know, he's got his... You know, his whole offseason is at home.
Yeah.
And unlike most guys, he's got those 6 to 8 weeks also at home, which is a big deal because these guys spend a lot of time away from home.
Yeah,
so I don't even begrudge that. I'm just saying it's a thing to consider.
I said that to them, Gas House Gang. Somebody commented, oh, he would accept a trade to the Astros and the Marlins and the Nationals. Like, no, he wouldn't. No, he
Marlins
wouldn't.
Would make some sense, but why would he want to go to a worse team?
Yeah, he's not going to the Marlins.
No, I'm just saying, like, yeah. Geographically. But why would you go there to play to get the same benefit you have now for a worse team?
Not happening.
You wouldn't?
No.
And the Marlins aren't exactly eating money, although... Marlins and A's might be eating money because they don't want to get a grievance filed against them by the MLBPA. They may be taking on contracts here just to get their payroll up so they don't get in trouble.
I think the A's want to make a little bit of a splash in the first year in triple A.
Everything about what they're doing is so wrong.
I agree.
You spend all this time tanking your team and not spending, and now the minute you're out of there, you're spending.
Yeah, it's terrible. Kevin, have a good weekend.
You
good
too,
to
buddy.
See you.
We'll all be skating in to... do the Gas House Gang on Monday.
We will attempt to. That's for sure. That's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Matt Pauly. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the program. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Just a couple minutes left on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on at KMOX. Just a programming note for you. We are done early tonight. Billikens basketball, they are in action as they match up against St. Joseph's. A late night tonight at Shea Fitz Arena, an 8 o'clock start. And our coverage begins just a few minutes at 7:45 as the Billikens and St. Joseph's all-time series between these two teams. SLU does lead the all-time series 17-5. They split the home-and-home last year with each team winning on their home court. It's really... we're not going to mince words. It was a very disappointing non-conference season for SLU basketball. Now, there were reasons for the disappointment. Obviously, an injured club, a team coming together under a new coach where you had a bunch of different people trying to all figure it out at once. But there were definitely some disappointments about this season in going into league play. And they had not won a single road game until they open up league play and they pick up a victory on the road against Fordham. There is some when you are a team that has expectations and then you don't have a very good non-conference season, you kind of feel bad about yourself. And all of a sudden you get a new lease on life the moment conference play begins, because you're sort of playing for something again. I don't know if that's going to happen with this team or not, but it was a really good first step when they won a road game against Fordham, and now they're going to play the next two games at home tonight against St. Joseph's, and they'll be back coming up next Wednesday when they take on St. Bonaventure. So if you're looking for something to do this evening, you're close to downtown West. I'm sure tickets are still available. You can head on over to Chaffetz Arena and watch some Friday night basketball as SLU and St. Joseph's are in action this evening. But like I said, that's just about going to do it for the program this evening. Thanks for being tuned in. I joked earlier, this is the final day we can say Happy New Year. That is according to Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm. So for a final time, I will wish you a Happy New Year. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll try to deal with Snowmageddon coming in on Sunday and Monday. But one way or another, we'll talk to you again coming up on Monday for another Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. SLU Basketball on the way next.